Father's Day today, a day that we honor our fathers and we say thank you to our fathers. We give gifts to fathers sometimes in order to show our thanks and in order to honor them. But really more important than gifts to honor our fathers, our actions honor our fathers. But also our actions can dishonor our fathers. If we look at there are several places in Proverbs that it tells us this about a son honoring his father and doing what's right will honor our parents. In Psalms, in Proverbs 10 and 1, he said that a wise son maketh a glad father. And then on down in verse 5, he said, he that gathereth in the summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in the harvest is a son that causeth shame. And so he talks about this causeth shame. Well, he brings shame upon himself by not getting out and working when it was time to work. But you notice the contrast here with the wise son. So the one that went out and worked during the summertime and was able to gather in things when it was not even the gathering time, but was able to get a little extra opportunity there. He is a wise son. And he goes back to that bringing honor to the father and the contrast of the shame that he brought himself, but also he brought shame. As he calls it shame to his father also. In Proverbs 23, and then 24, he says, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth the wise son shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bear thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. As we think about this, honoring our Father, we think also of our Heavenly Father. Doesn't this last verse that we look at sound like God calling to us, my son, give me thy heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. See the ways of God. Give our hearts to God and we will honor Him. Sometimes our children do something that we're proud of and we say, that's my son. That's my daughter. Maybe out on a baseball field or some sports event. I've heard it before down here. They play basketball and some of them in the stands say, that's my child. Or they're proud of that child there. He did something good. That's my child. And stand up and holler. And so they're hollering to and encourage the children, but also they're proud of that child and what they did. And sometimes, you know, we have pride in our children and we realize that God is that way about us. He's proud of us sometimes and the things that we do. And we can please Him with our actions, with the way that we conduct ourselves. God can be pleased by us in what we've done. Wouldn't that be our goal? To have God proud of us to be His children. We know how that when Jesus went to be baptized, He went to John to be baptized, and He came up out of the water, and it says the heavens opened up, and the Spirit descended upon Him as like a dove, and they heard a voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. As Christians, we want to be followers of Christ. Our aim is to be like Christ, to be a beloved son to God, in whom God would be well pleased. We are to strive to please God the Father. And this is not like a Father's Day gift, a one-time thing that we would do. It's like the present, a one-time event. But it's something to please God. It's something that we would want to do always. We would strive and work to be pleasing to God with what we have. Now, Abraham read us a parable here, and he read this parable that Jesus gave, and also then Jesus explains the parable. And I want us to notice in this that there was a little bit of relationship of father and child. You know, I've read it before and didn't really notice that so much in here. But they're called children. The two different types of seed were called children. One was the children of the kingdom. One was the children of the wicked one. Let's see if I can get this up here. In the explanation that Jesus gave, he said the good seed are the children of the kingdom. And then the tares, that was the bad stuff there. The tares was the children of the wicked one. This parable is teaching us about the kingdom of heaven. And it's teaching us here about how that they would exist side by side and exist together, and that God was not going to try to tear out the tares because it would hurt the wheat as it is here, but it would hurt the Christians. It would hurt His people. But that one group of this was going to be bundled and going to be burned, while the other would be gathered into the kingdom. So that was the point of the parable about the way that there was both good and bad in this world, side by side, and one was just waiting for destruction, and one was waiting to be gathered to God. But as we think about this parable, it's a parable about seed. And think about the way that seed is. It produces stuff. You remember in the parable of the soul that there were tares there? And the tares were the bad stuff that would choke out the good stuff. So there's the good growth and the good produce, and then the things that did not produce good events, did not cause good to come, the tares. So this is what it means here as we're thinking about this being a child of the kingdom or a child of the devil. You think about it and you see the contrast of the two of them living side by side, and you'll see that that's a contrast of the character of God versus the character of devil. It's an opportunity for Christians to glorify God by living beside the world that's so different from God. As we follow Him and as we do the things that He would want done, and as we honor Him, as we strive to live and be an example of God in this world, we show the character of God, and that honors God. And you see a seed grows and makes produce. In Genesis it says that would produce after their own kind, as he mentions all the other things that produce after their own kind. So what does the seed produce? It produces the seed of the devil would produce things that would please the devil, the things of the devil, the things that the devil would like to do. And here we see this reference to the children of the wicked one. This is children of the devil. And they would produce things that please the devil instead of producing the things that would please God as the children of God would. So, as we look at our deeds tell us about our spiritual father, it seems here. And we know this is also taught elsewhere. Jesus talks about, when He's speaking to some of those in His days, He speaks to those that He calls and tells that they're the children of the devil, and the devil is their father. In John chapter 8, we'll begin reading here with 38. "And I speak that which I have seen of my Father, and ye do that which ye have seen of your father." Now this conversation started as He's trying to tell them about making, how that He came to make people free. But they wanted to argue with Him over it, and they said, "Well, we've always been free, and we've got Abraham as our father." And so that's how they get into this exchange about being the father. And Jesus says that He's doing the things of His Father, but they do the things of their fathers. And then in verse 39, He says, "Then answered and said unto them, Abraham is our father. Jesus said unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham." You see the point of this? As we think back about those seed that were referred to as being the children of the wicked one, because they do the works of the wicked one. Verse 40, and now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Verse 41, and ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they unto him, but we are not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So they're arguing with him, saying, you keep referring to our Father, but we have one Father. God is our Father. But he's telling them here about their works. It's the matter of what they're doing. They didn't do the works of Abraham. And we're going to continue reading here in this John chapter 8 and see some more of this. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and come from the Father. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So if they were of God, they would be glad for the works of God. They would love Jesus because he was there doing the work of God. He was sent by God. But in verse 43, he says, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus told these people that their father was not God. Their father was the devil. And their father was the devil because of these actions they were doing. They were seeking to kill him. They did not want to hear his truth. He said, your father is the devil because you do the lust of your father. You do the lust of your father, the devil. Do the devil's work. He said that he abode not in the truth. He didn't want the truth. Their deeds showed who their father was. How terrible a thing to think that someone could be the children of the devil. How terrible a thing. But that's what Jesus is teaching us here. We do the works of the devil. We do the lust of the devil. We don't want the truth. We're a child of the devil. Lust, murder, these things he's listed up here, and lying, telling those lies, even as my last sermon was about lying to ourselves and convincing ourselves of a lie, deceiving our own selves. As we think about this, how terrible it would be. Imagine, can we imagine the devil saying those things? That's my child. I'm proud of that. What would the devil say of us? You know, sometimes we'd say things, that's my son. You do this and you do that. You're doing just what I want you to. What kind of things would he say? That's my son. That's my child. Don't let anyone take advantage of you. You fight for your own rights. Right? He would be pleased with those things. The devil would be pleased for us to stand up in our own pride and to make ourselves important in our own eyes and make sure that we got the best of everything. That we didn't let anyone get advantage of us. He would be proud of that. He would say, that's my child. Don't let anyone do something that you don't want to do, that you don't feel comfortable in doing. Your comfortableness is so important. Don't let anyone tell you what's right and what's wrong. You're so important. You can figure it out for yourself. These are the things that would please the devil. And we would be the child of the devil when we have this attitude of, I'm so important, I can decide for myself what's right and wrong. Nobody else can tell me what I need to do. not even God, and we stand against God. Realize how opposite of Jesus these things that I'm talking about are. To be a child of God would be like Jesus. He gave of Himself. He went and did things, though they were not the easy way for Him, were not comfortable things for Him. He followed the Father's will. And to be a child of God, that's what we have to do. We have to do His will. Now I want us to notice here, as we're reading this in Ephesians, he's telling them there about how that they had been in a state of dead to sin. But God had made them alive. And he's talking about how great the mercy of God is and how great His salvation is. But I want us to notice here the language that he uses as he describes the state that they were in, the old man of sin, when they were dead to sin. Look at Ephesians 2, and then I guess we'll start reading here in verse 1. He says, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin." Now this quickeness is talking about making someone alive. God brought them to life when they were dead in trespasses and in sin. He says in verse 2, "Wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So as he's describing this, we see that he says, in times past ye walked according to the course of this world. This walking that he's talking about is not the way that they moved around and put one foot in front of another, but he's talking about the life path that they chose. The way they lived their life, the direction that their life was going, according to the course of this world. You know, we may not realize that how evil the course of this world is. Just the way things are, it's just the way things are. And so we go just the way everyone else goes and don't realize that's the course of the world. He says that was being dead to sin, to walk according to the course of the world. He says that's according to the prince of the power of the air. That's a reference to the devil. You did things the way that he would want it done. That's what he's talking about. He says that was the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Verse 3, he says, "Among whom also we all have had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So as he's describing the state that they were in, he says, fulfill the lust of their flesh. Their conversation in times past was of the lust of the flesh. Conversation being their mannerisms, the way they handled their life, was after their lust of the flesh. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And he says, and were by nature. See, it's just the natural way. You just go and do things that are natural to you and come natural to you. And this is the easy path that comes natural to us in this fallen world, to be the children of wrath. Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His love wherein He loved us, even as we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved." So we notice the language there of being dead in sin. The description of being the children of wrath. It's just the walking the natural course, the way of the world, and go in the direction, the same direction. That's the devil. To live our life to go in the same direction as the devil. So how can we tell? Another place where we see the same talking about the children of God and the children of the devil. And he explains here, he uses this word manifest. Manifest is to reveal something, to make it appear so that it's easy for people to see. And we'll see this word manifest a couple of times, but he's going to say this: the manifest between the children of the God and the children of the devil. Let's start reading now in verse 5. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. And ye know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So this is talking about Jesus. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that worketh righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of the devil doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. So in this, you'll see the difference. It'll be clear to see the difference between the children of the devil and the children of God. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. As I look at this word, we see here sin a lot. He's talking about those that sin. Those that commit sin are of the devil. Those are the children of the devil. He said the children of God would not. And this sin that he's talking, as I look up the word, as one Wednesday night, Dad was showing us how you can pull it up in the Greek and see what the original words meant there. And he's talking about to miss the mark. To miss the mark. There was a standard, and to not keep it. The devil would reject the standard that God puts. These are the rules, these are what I want, these are the things that are good, and these are the things that are bad. But the devil would reject God's good and bad and say, make up our own mind for what's good and bad. Those that are the children of the devil would be those that would just continue in sin. Continue to not care about the judgment of God and what He says is right. And He says this is how we can see to make manifest the children of God and the children of the devil. Whoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. And He talks about loving your brother. This is the message that was given from the beginning, that we should love one another. And we see this is the contrast of the two seed in the parable that we read about to start with. The seed that would bring forth the wheat. The seed that was wanted to be planted there. That the man that owns the field wants to grow there. And then his enemy's seed, that would be the tares. And they side by side, and we see this contrast. That we are to love one another. He said that the seed of the devil would not love his brother. But Jesus thought that we should even love our enemies. In Matthew 5, we'll start reading with verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. This is Jesus' teaching, to love our enemies. To bless those that would curse us. See the contrast between the two seeds? One is cursing, one is blessing. One is hating, One is doing good. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Jesus said, when we do these things, when we are good to those that are our enemies, we do good to those that are doing bad to us and hating us. And when we love our enemies, when we pray for those that would take advantage of us and would persecute us, then we are being the children of our Father in heaven. The children of God. That's what he said in 45. Now let's continue reading verse 46. He says, for if you love them that love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. See, doing these things is showing the character of God. Living by these things that Jesus teaches us is showing God's character. It's going to glorify God. It's going to honor Him. He will be pleased with us as children because we are following His character. Just as Christ came to show us the character of God, to show us what it's like to see a child of God, to show us how we should live as a child of God. Christ is our example. We should follow Him, and that will cause us to show the character of God. As Christians, imitating Christ will please our Father, just like He was pleased with Jesus, and He spoke from heaven, my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. We would please God by imitating Christ, by following His example. Jesus said that He spoke the words of the Father and did the works of the Father. Whenever Jesus is teaching His disciples and Philip says, well, show us the Father, He says that you've seen the Father in Him. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. So Jesus gave God the Father the glory for the works that He did. He says, these are God's works that you see. These good works and good things that I do, they're just the works of the Father because I'm just doing His will. And these words that I speak unto you, they are the Father's words because I speak not of myself, Jesus said. We need to do the works of God. We need to speak the words of God to be a son of God that would honor Him and that God would be pleased with. Our actions honor God. 1 Peter 4 and 11, he says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. So if we're going to say something, let's let them be godly things that we say. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We're to speak the things of God. We're to do our work. This ministering that he's talking about. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth. So give God the glory for what we're able to do, and do the things that would glorify God with the ability that we've been given. Speak the things that would be the message from God, that God would be glorified in all the things that we do. And this is our sermon this morning. I hope we can get a perspective on our life and on the way that we handle ourselves. Think about this a little differently maybe. Think about this a little clearer about our our lives,
judge for ourselves, our works. This morning, we want to extend an invitation.